Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Ray, Ray's in Kansas City, KS, and we're here in Tupelo, MS, and you're listening to American Family Radio. We got 24 and a half more minutes of this show to go. Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Power pack, 24 minutes.
20, yeah, we're down packed. To 20, 24 power packed.
Yes. And by the way, I can step up the wardrobe even more if you'd like. I have my tuxedo out in the car.
A tuxedo? Why do you have a tuxedo with you?
Well, I sing. We're performing tonight at this concert in Columbus, Mississippi, if anybody's there. We're going to be at First United Methodist Church.
What group are you a part of?
The Columbus Choral Society.
Oh, it's a society.
It is a society.
is it like a secret? Do you have a secret handshake or something?
No, but you do have to audition.
Oh, well, I'm out.
We're done. Okay.
Ray, I don't know if you can.
I'm sorry. I'm out.
Carrie, I'm out,
you
too.
You actually have to try out.
So we can have our own society, Ray.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. The non-singer society.
Losers who can't sing.
That's right.
Got to kind of riff a little bit on what Jenna Ellis was talking about.
Right.
So your part was is like a men's choir or a women's choir?
No, it's a community choir. It's a very good chorus.
Okay. All right. Good.
What kind of music are you doing for the concert?
We're doing some choral music. We're doing some. You should ask.
like Led Zeppelin 4?
Yeah, no.
Led Zeppelin.
Some Eric Whitaker. We're doing some John Rutter. We're doing...
John Rutter.
Are you talking singers or composers?
Mendelssohn.
I know John Rutter. Okay.
Some Mendelssohn.
John Rutter, he played in on Three's Company.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, right.
He was also linebacker for...
Sick guy.
I knew that was coming, too.
Well, he's not writing choral music in England.
In England.
So with the names you just threw out, those like composers or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mendelssohn.
Yeah.
That's a big name.
Mendelssohn?
I've heard of Mendelssohn.
Felix Mendelssohn.
All right. What was one of his
Mendelssohn to
He wrote the we're singing a piece from his oratorio Elijah.
Sure you are.
Very very famous.
Oh, it's a great piece of music.
Very famous.
So you know what, you've heard of the Messiah, right? Handel's
yes,
Messiah.
Lord
Handel's
Jesus.
Messiah.
Jesus. Yeah. We've heard of Jesus.
I've heard of him.
Right.
Handel's Messiah is Handel's treatment of, it's an oratorio about the life of Christ and work of Christ. Well, an oratorio is often, it's like an opera for church. And Mendelssohn wrote an oratorio about the prophet Elijah. And it's a great piece of, it's great. It talks about him tempting the battle with Baal's priests. It talks about.
Wow.
Oh,
you want to sing a little bit of
it? I think he's getting wound up
that,
here.
Play a little name that tune here.
It is phenomenal. Hear our cry, O Baal. Anyway.
Now this is.
Oh, I like that.
I was going to say,
Steve,
this is the one of the differences between you and I, Steve, okay? The way my brain it dysfunctionally works. When you started off singing that, Hear
our cry.
I thought you were going to go right into
Comes the Bride?
No, no. Here he is to save the day. Underdog. I thought you were going right into Underdog.
Do that Mighty Mouse?
Well, they do do that.
Oh, maybe it is Mighty Mouse.
Right. They do that number, too.
Yeah, well, that's the encore.
Right, here he comes to save the day.
That's the encore.
After Handel's Messiah.
That's right.
They go straight to Super Mouse or whatever it is.
Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse.
Oh.
All right, well, tell us how it goes, Steve.
Sorry, yeah, I will.
I won't be able to be there. But
you can probably, we usually post the concerts online afterwards.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't have anything that's that urgent.
Anything to add to that?
Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
Well,
our way.
Let's do some breaking stuff. Today, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was in front of the Senate Homeland Security Committee.
Just a brilliant man.
Yeah, and Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson just about took him apart. They almost had to declare a Class A felony of as much as he tore into Mayorkas. I want you to hear some of this. This is talking about the open borders and how Mayorkas kind of refuses to admit that there's a problem. Cut 8.
You are failing miserably. 4 to 5 million people, you know, 1.4 million unknown gotaways. We have no idea who those people are, what kind of security they risk. You're not giving me any stats whatsoever in terms of the number of people that are human trafficked, how many young girls are sex trafficked. You don't have a clue. You wouldn't even answer how many dead bodies, which is very well documented, at the border. Do you not care? Do you not have just an ounce of human compassion for what your open border policy, the type of human depredations it is causing? You just sit there looking with a blank look on your face and you're saying it's a priority. Mr. Secretary, you ought to resign.
Wow. Listen, that's heavy hitting, but Mayorkas deserves it.
That reminds me of the end of the what was the trial, the communist trial back in the 50s of
Have You No Shame, sir?
Yes, Have You No Shame. That was the
McCarthy
hearings.
Yeah, so
you know, that was Senator Johnson from Wisconsin who was recently reelected. Secretary of Homeland Security, is that what it's called?
Yes, Secretary of Homeland Security.
Mayorkas, what's the fellow's first name?
Alejandro.
All right, so there are a couple people now in the Biden administration that I don't even, maybe this is wrong, I think they're just complete and utter failures, and I don't even care to listen to them anymore because they have nothing to say worthwhile. One of them is this guy, Mayorkas. Right. It's like Senator Johnson said right there, Ray. He just sits there like a knot on a log. He has no answers. The only answer is, now he'll say we're doing all we can, we care. The truth is, if you could give him truth serum and he would speak frankly, he would say this to the senator. You're right. We don't care. It's made Biden, my boss, made it clear everybody gets to come to the U.S. and we shouldn't try to stop them. Maybe put up a little bit of a resistance, give them a Subway coupon when they come across the border, you know, a welcome wagon. But that's, I'm kidding there. But he needs to say, you're right. We want as many people to come here as possible. We don't. Borders are immoral, and that's what I've been told by this White House.
And these things you just mentioned, Ray, we'll pitch it to you. These things you just mentioned, sex trafficking, dead bodies,
right.
That's collateral damage.
Yes, it is. Just
and
part of it.
It's part of the human cost of letting people come to this country.
Well, look, the reason he doesn't answer is because he can't answer. Because were he to give any kind of honest answer, he would have to admit the complete and total failure of the Biden policy. Which really, Tim, is what you said. What's happening down on the border is what they want to have happen. They want porous borders. They want open borders. They want anybody to come in with almost no checks at all. So he's got nothing to say. I will say this. Kudos to the senator for making such a strong statement. And if this secretary had any ounce of decency or integrity, he would resign today, or he would have resigned yesterday, and he should.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Kohar reality, folks, is this. Unless there's a change in the White House, then it's going to – if Democrat voters in this country don't care – now, people vote for multiple reasons. Not everybody's a one-issue voter. Most people vote on two or three different things, more or less, maybe more than that, or a general ideology or philosophy about government. But – you're going to have Democratic voters in this country say to their politicians, we care about the border. Until you have that happen, or you have a Republican take over in the White House who has a strong border policy, then you're not going to get any changes. You're just going to get millions more people coming in from around the world who are just walking across our southern border. Because the Democrats, by and large, in this country, they want people to flood our country.
Well, they say
that's
too much.
That's why they're not doing anything to stop it. And here's the end game, in my opinion. I can't prove this. The Democrats, and this is probably going to be, people are going to go, well, duh, who doesn't know that? Biden and the Democrats want to flood our country with people coming from around the world now. It's a cottage industry down there. With people flooding our country, millions. Then they want, then they'll say we need to make these people citizens, right? Amnesty.
Path to citizenship.
Path to citizenship. Then they make them citizens, and they are permanently indebted to the Democratic Party for this.
Yep.
And then that makes the Republican Party a permanent minority. That's the long game political agenda of the Democrats, why they don't care how many people come here.
And sadly, voters will not. Most of the time, voters do not care about issues unless they have a very unless a particular issue is very high on their list of moral issues. But mostly voters are only concerned with issues that directly affect them.
Yes.
So the
that's
only
human
time,
nature.
The only time what you describe for Democrat voters that that's going to change on this issue, and I'm not predicting this, I'm just saying, knowing human nature, as if some terrorist cell has made it across that border and they go on a killing spree, or they knock out electricity for, you know,
right,
the Midwest.
Right. Or a 9/11 type.
Or a 9/11 thing, and we find out they came across that unguarded border and there's blood in the streets, or we're not going to have electricity in the Ohio Valley for 6 months because the Biden administration left the border wide open. Then voters are going to go, oh, you know what? I care about the border now. But until that happens, and I do not want it to happen because those kinds of things are terrifying, but most people don't care about the border because it doesn't impact them.
Right. I agree with you. I think the other person that I hardly listen to at all anymore is Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, because she daily, either she doesn't answer questions that she's asked, she only reads from her prepared statement, she doesn't really engage the They could say you have a red dress on, and she would say, let me make this clear.
Right.
I have a yellow dress on.
Right.
That's the kind of nonsense she engages in, and it's every day. And she will just – there's a difference between spinning something and just lying to your face, and we all know it. And she will not acknowledge anything of a criticism against the president. President Biden, or nothing. I mean, or engage in an intelligent conversation with people on the merits of a case or the facts of a case. She just sits up there and gaslights.
Right.
That's what she does. It's unlike any other press secretary I've seen. As I said, all press secretaries make their boss look the best that they can.
Right.
That's common. But
that's a pretty high bar for her, though. I mean, for Biden, you have to make him look good. You got to really go a piece.
What do you think, Ray?
Well, look, she's paid to make him look good. Does she make him look good? No.
Right. I mean, she doesn't really.
She obfuscates. She changes the subject. She really is terrible, really terrible
yes.
at answering unscripted questions.
Right.
Okay, we all agree. It's hard. You're up there. The lights are shining and all that. But there have been press secretaries, even ones for Democrat presidents, who were pretty good
right.
at answering unscripted questions. She cannot answer anything that hasn't already been laid out for her. When she opens her mouth unscripted, literally anything can come out.
I'll give you an example. Just again, I don't hardly even pay attention to her anymore because I know what she's going to do. She's going to get up there and she's going to start waving her right arm. If you watch her right hand and her right arm. In a circular fashion, like this right here, and then she's going to say, "I want to be perfectly clear." But when remember when all those discoveries were made that Biden had taken classified documents while he was vice president,
right?
And it was like three different places which is illegal
right.
to do, and she kept saying, all she would say was regurgitate our the president believes in following the law, and you're going like, well, then why didn't he follow the law?
Right.
With these three different places, these classes, answer why he didn't follow the law. All she would say was, reset.
Right.
The president believes in following the law. Spin my right arm.
Yes.
Be clear.
She's bad at
She's a robot.
Job.
She's a robot.
Bad at her job.
Huh?
Maybe she's AI.
No, because that's artificial intelligence.
AI would do better.
Yeah, I agree, Ray. AI would do better than she does. Anyway, next topic.
All right. Some people say that the left has no sense of humor, or they're easy to paint into a corner. Example number one. This is a Twitter feed. I want you to listen to this, see if you can how long it takes you to catch on. As a third grade teacher, I often talked about Jesus with my students. They're so excited to hear about my faith, they point to the cross on the wall and ask me about the resurrection. Some have gotten baptized in the sink. As long as they don't tell their parents, it's our secret. I hope this doesn't get me fired. Please don't share this with the libs. I want you guys to understand something. I'm not grooming these young apostles. They come to me, and I follow their questions back to its source. These kids feel something is not right inside them, and I help them to understand that Jesus is what they're missing in their life. Guys, it's important that we keep these tweets away from people who would get me fired. Please be very cautious who you send this to. At the beginning of every year, I give students a gospel of their own to read at school from these kids. I'm the first person they came out to as a Christian. Even their parents don't know. A few of my students take communion here because their parents won't allow it. One of my fondest memories is from last year when Talib made his transformation from Islam to Christ. To celebrate his new identity, we had a pizza party with his new favorite topping, Canadian bacon. Sometimes I'll buy him a hot dog at lunch since he can't have them at home. All right. The left doesn't see what's going on and goes crazy. Some tweets. This is extremely unconstitutional. This violates their rights. They need to keep it secret. You mean you know it's wrong? You need to be fired. You should be arrested for child abuse. If this is a child at my school, I'd be planning a lawsuit. I hope you're well armed and your home address isn't listed in any public records. The final tweet. I had no idea so many people would get angry about me teaching third graders about their spiritual identity and encouraging them to get a sect change. It boggles the mind.
That's brilliant. Ooh. Who did that?
It's a site called Carpe Donctum.
This really got posted.
Yeah.
All right. So, folks, you're listening. If you're a little confused, what this individual did, or individuals, is they used the language being used by the transgender promoters and sympathizers in public schools. So if you substitute in that Steve just read, if you substitute gender issues and keeping that secret from parents, that's the purpose of this.
And giving them pornography books instead of Bibles.
Right.
Yeah.
So there were people who obviously got angry at that, but would not get angry when the teachers do the same thing to kids and hide it from their parents when it comes to the transgender issue.
It's a sect change.
Good. Well done. Nicely played.
Yeah. Well played is right.
Example number two of being owned on the internet. So you remember who Dean Cain was?
Superman. It was a television series,
yes.
not a movie.
He's still out there. He's on Fox News sometimes.
Yeah.
He's an actor.
Right. Well, there was a video posted online of this guy that is now sponsoring the sports bras and stuff from Nike and the Bud.
Dylan Mulvaney.
And there's another transgender guy that pretends to be a girl, and they have a discussion. It kind of went viral, to which Dean Cain wrote back, "I think neither of you are girls." Well, somebody was having none of it, didn't like him. "And you were never Superman either." To which Dean Cain replies, "Correct. I pretended."
Ooh.
They walked right into that one.
Yeah. Mic drop.
Two in a row, I think. Whoa. Mic drops for right.
Yeah. That's the kind of witty banter we have come to expect out of Superman.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is Dean Cain, is he a Christian or just conservative or? I was thinking out loud and I shouldn't do that. Go ahead.
I don't know. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Elon.
Never, Excuse me, I agree. I never do that. I try to avoid thinking out loud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get you in trouble.
It does. I just
follow my lead, Ed.
Okay. And never do it?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Steve.
All right. We're probably going to end with this. This is an interview that...
The world?
Not the world.
The show.
The 28, 25 power-packed minutes were going to come.
Did you just close. Think something and speak it out loud? How am I supposed to follow you if you keep doing the same thing I'm doing?
Yeah, that is a good point.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Steve.
Elon Musk had an interview with Tucker Carlson the other night and was quite open about some of the things that he found at Twitter. Listen to what he says about Facebook Cut 7.
The goal of new Twitter is to be as fair and even-handed as possible.
Why doesn't Facebook do this? I know that Zuckerberg has said, and I take him at face value, that he... I do actually in this way, that he is a kind of old-fashioned liberal who doesn't like to censor. He has, but he, you know... Like, why wouldn't a company like that take the stand that you have taken? Which is pretty rooted in American traditional political custom, you know, for free speech.
My understanding is that Zuckerberg spent... $400 million in the last election, nominally in a get-out-the-vote campaign, but really fundamentally in support of Democrats. Is that accurate or not accurate?
That is accurate, yes.
Does that sound unbiased to you?
No, it doesn't.
Yes.
All right, let me play one more real quick along the same lines. This is on his he cut employees at Twitter when he first got there, cut 5.
I think we're about 20% of the original size.
80% are gone from the day you took over.
That's correct, yes.
So how do you run the company with only 20% of the staff?
Turns out you don't need that many people to run Twitter.
But 80%? That's a lot.
Yes. If you're not trying to run some sort of glorified activist organization and you're not care that much about censorship, then you can really let go of a lot of people, turns out.
that's super dry. Listen.
Go, Elon, go.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I follow him on Twitter.
I do, too.
Twitter, too. Yeah,
the guy's very smart and fair.
Yeah.
And objective. He's a libertarian slash liberal. That's okay, as long as you're honest about it. Yeah.
Did most of these workers at Twitter, did they work in a building or from home?
It depends on before or after COVID.
Well,
that was one of the companies that lost all of their employees to at home work. A lot of them did work at home. And he says a lot of these 80% that left on their own. They just didn't like the new leader.
Well, because I'm wondering how vacant the building must be.
Oh, yeah.
When 80% are gone.
Well, right. He said he slashed 80% of the staff.
And has greatly improved the product, you know. Maybe slash another 10%. He'll be where he wants it to be, you know.
But go ahead.
He paid a lot, $45 billion or whatever. You had to do some cutting to make those numbers work. Good for him.
By the way, several people on our Facebook page have stated, Donna for one, Dean Cain is a Christian, and he's been in many Christian, several people said he's been in many faith-based films. God's Not Dead is one of those. So thank you for following up on that, folks.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Ray, appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Tim.
My thanks to Ed and to Chris, Brent Creeley, our producer.
Our fine producer.
Jenna Ellis, who was on with us. And let's see, we had Dr.
Kathy Cook.
Was on with us. Said everybody. All right. Thank you for listening, and we hope you have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you back here tomorrow on American Family Radio.